I put the new 4G's on the G. I trap into the bloody bottoms, it's underneath. Cause all my niggas got it out the streets. I keep 100 racks inside my jeans. I remember hitting them all with a whole team. Nah, nigga, can't ask a call cause I'm balling. I was waking up getting racks in the morning. I was broke, now I'm rich, these niggas salty. All this designer on my body got me drip, drip. Straight up by the objects, I'm a big crip. If I got up on a lean, I'ma sip, sip. I run the wrestle with my queen like London and Nip. But I got rich on all these niggas, I didn't forget back. I had to go through the struggle, I didn't forget that. I hopped inside of the Maybach and now I can sit back. These bitches know me now, cause I got them big racks. Cause I'm getting money now, I know you heard that. Young nigga on the corner, bitch, I had to serve crack. Uncle fronted me some peas, had to get them birds back. We came up on dirty money, I gave it a bird back.
What's up, what's up, what's good with it, everybody? We back again for another episode. And man, it's once again, it's a lot that has occurred in between our episodes, man. Sam, what's up?
And what's good, world?
Man, Kawhi Watch is finally over. That seemed like it took forever. And man, that decision right there, everybody knew it was going to be a big decision, but I don't think anybody knew that a decision like Kawhi's decision would alter the NBA as we know it. And man, did it ever. I don't think I've ever seen a free agency signing that single-handedly changed, like shifted the entire NBA. Could you think of any? I know I can't. I can't think of any.
Well, when LeBron went to the Heat, that was pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
That changed. That started. Well, I mean, I guess the
Celtics had already did it though.
Yeah, but this was different because they were younger and more in their prime.
Yeah, I think that I think LeBron's decision definitely took a little more time to affect the NBA. Kawhi seemed like it's happening instantly.
Yeah, like, I mean, but I don't think it was Kawhi's
solely Kawhi.
Yeah. It had a lot to do with where a lot of other players ended up going. Nobody really took the big three route this year.
Yeah.
Everybody just kind of tried to find a nice little partner to duo up with. So it's kind of more even across the board this year.
Yeah, man. I think a couple of teams probably had eyes on doing the big three thing, but I think it may have came at a later date for people like maybe like a Katie and Kyrie. Mm-hmm. How they decided to team up with DeAndre Jordan as well. But I felt like they probably thought that by the time KD came back next year, they may be able to get somebody else pretty big or use some of those people as trade bait. But yeah, man, it's crazy. I feel like the magnitude of his decision is like colossal. And it's, what do you make of the whole Chris Broussard thing to start off? Because I saw a lot of people saying, oh, his credibility is shot now because he's the one that said the Clippers are out. They're out. It's over with. It's between the Lakers and the Raptors. And he ends up at the Clippers. So do you think that it's fair to say that his credibility is, I guess, has a major dent in it?
Nah, I don't think so. Because for one, I mean, everybody's not going to be right all the time. And for two, I don't think that Kawhi knew he was going to the Clippers. I think that the whole time he kind of might have wanted to go there, but it was on the Clippers to find somebody else to get there with him. And I think that's why he held out so long. He was just giving them a chance. So I don't think that you could just say his credibility shot. I don't think so.
I think that it's definitely tarnished a bit just for the simple fact that this wasn't just a minor Stephen A. Smith and KD type thing. Everybody is telling me that Kevin Durant is going to the Lakers. It wasn't one of those. It was something that basically completely ruled out, like 100% ruled out a ball club. And then we saw that. I mean, that's how it happened. I felt like maybe he should have been a little more, I guess, relaxed in the aggression of his decision to come out and say that they're done. I felt like he should have said something along the lines of, right now, it's looking like the Clippers are playing the back row as opposed to the Lakers and the Raptors, who seem to have more leverage on Kawhi. But he just said they're flat out dumb. But yeah, I feel like the Clippers had. I feel like Kawhi really wanted to go to the Clippers. I felt like that was the ultimate destination for him. And like you said, him taking so long had a lot to do with that. I felt like he went to the Clippers and told them, look, if I'm going to come here, this is what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to get somebody down here. And who better than Paul George? Both of these guys are from L.A. So, or from Cali, should I say. And I feel like it's perfect. Like, that is a perfect compliment to him. It's not somebody that he has to worry about with having a major ego or somebody he's going to have to clash with over whose team it is. I feel like they both have very similar temperaments in the aspect of they're both willing to do whatever it takes for the team to win. They don't care if it's them. And we've seen that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree for sure. I like the tandem.
Yeah, me too. So speaking of tandems, let's talk about all of the tandems that we've seen come together in the NBA. This summer, I felt like there's been some different-looking duos, some people that obviously are close friends, but we've never necessarily seen it happen this way because, I mean, I can't remember who it was, but one of the former NBA players came out and said, the players now have the control with free agency. They'll go wherever they want to go, and they can bring whoever they go with them. And that it's showing to be true. So out of the duos that have teamed up, how would you rank them? If you had to put them in like a top five, what would your top five be with the duos? I'll give you some time to think because I know mine off a book. Top five, number one, it's got to be LeBron and Anthony Davis. I feel like LeBron is still, if not the best player in the world, second best player in the world. And right now with Kevin Durant being injured, LeBron is back at that. He holds that title once again. Kawhi's got a lot to say about that, but I think that LeBron is still the best player in the world with injured KD. So you've got him, and you team him with arguably the best big man in the game, young big man at that. If they can both stay healthy, I think that duo could do major things. Now, I want to rank these barring injury. I don't want to think about the injuries because obviously that some of these duos wouldn't be able to rank them if we went on injury. So after Bron and AD, I definitely got Kawhi and PG just for the reason that we both said. Like they mesh. They seem like they'll mesh extremely well together. And I'm anxious to see the Clippers and the Lakers for probably the first time ever. I don't think I've, as a Laker fan, I don't think I've ever been excited for Lakers-Clippers games. This year, I definitely will be. After them, I got KD and Kyrie, of course. I think they'll be special together, depending on, obviously how KD comes back. But I think he's going to come back and be himself. After that, I got Steph and Klay. They made a push for third on my list just off the strength that we've already seen what they're capable of. We know what they can do. And I don't think it'll be any different this upcoming year. I think they'll be just as dangerous, probably more dangerous because it's been a couple of years since we've seen just them two at the helm of the offense. And in this little span of time with them having Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson has gotten better. Like he's flat out gotten better since before KD got there. Then to round it out, I got Russ and Harden. Reason being is just off the strength that they're both MVPs. I felt like it would have been disrespectful to leave them off the list as a whole. But I'm going to just be honest. I don't like it. I don't like the duo at all. Yeah. I don't think it's going to make them any better than they were this year.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too.
Yeah, what's your how would you rank those duos?
I like Paul George and Kawhi at one.
Okay.
Two of the two best perimeter defenders in the game on the same team, and they both can get you 30 a night.
The two? Would you consider Paul George a better perimeter defender than Klay?
It's debatable.
Nah, I don't think it is.
Has Klay ever been in the discussion for Defensive Player of the Year?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think so, bro.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because Paul George, not only is he going to play great on ball defense, but he's going to get you the steals
and the lane steals too. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that duo right there is going to be special.
And then you also got to throw in the fact that you got to bring up the court with Patrick Beverley hounding you the whole time. So
yeah, but yeah. So then I like, of course, LeBron and Anthony Davis at the two spot. I mean, yeah, LeBron and Anthony Davis at the two spot. Then Steph and Clay for me.
Of course, of course.
They made a push for number one for me.
No.
Ain't none of these other duos got rings, bro.
Oh, my God.
What you talking about?
Bro, they haven't played together yet. What do you mean?
That ain't there.
You can't just say, oh, these niggas got rings. They played together before, save it.
Two best duos. They got to be top three. Man. Off the strip that they got three rings together, they got to be top three duos.
Nah. That ain't weighing my decision at all.
Yes. And then I like... See, these last two is kind of tough for me. Because I'm not as high on KD and Kyrie as everybody else is.
I am.
I think it's going to be... Kyrie is just a more efficient Russell Westbrook. They play the same. Kyrie just hits the bad shots that he takes. Russ can't hit them shits. That's the only difference. I don't think KD would like playing with Kyrie as much as he
thinks. But I don't think that. I think KD is going to come back and still be a dog, but I don't think KD is going to come back and be that guy right away. So I think having a guy like Kyrie is going to give him the luxury of being able to ease back into it. That's why I like that so much, because Kyrie, he's going to have another counterpart in KD. But I mean, like I said, KD is not going to be himself right away. It's going to take him time to get back into basketball mode. And I think Kyrie's going to be phenomenal in that time with allowing him to do so. And I think once KD comes back, these are two guys that they've already gone on record saying that they're really close friends. So it's not, I don't think it's going to be one of them. I don't know. I feel like Kyrie's already seen how bad it can be with a KD and Russ type situation. So I think Kyrie's smart enough to learn from that.
I just think it's going to be a your turn, my turn situation. That's what I see out of it. And I don't think that's...
You don't think it's going to make it help them be successful?
I just don't think that's a spectacular duo, is if it's just like two guys that just score a lot. And it's like not like you doing your thing together. Like, you remember how they used to have the Orange Julius or the two guys?
Yeah.
Like, were you really actually doing something with the guy that's in your duo? Like, something. I think that's just going to be a whole bunch of your turn, my turn. All right, you on fire, now I'm on fire.
Do you really think the last two are debatable, though?
I mean, I think KD and Kyrie at the two, but I think that the James Harden and
the four.
Russell Westbrook, yeah, that's what I mean, at the four. But yeah, I think Harden and Westbrook got potential to be in that four spot. They have potential to work, but it's going to require a major attitude shift from one of those two guys.
I think.
And that's where I think the problem come in. I don't think that either one of them guys is going to be willing. It really needs to be Russ, because this is Harden's mob. But, I mean, do you really think that Russ is going to change his attitude? I don't think so.
Here's the thing with Russ that can make them successful. It's definitely going to have to come from Westbrook. But not only is it going to have to come from Westbrook, it's going to have to come from D'Antoni. I've been trying to figure out how this duo can be, I guess, I don't want to say great, but I guess good. How this duo can be effective. The best way for this duo to be effective is to take Russell Westbrook off the ball. Let James Harden handle the ball. Granted, we know he likes to dribble the ball too much. But with Russell Westbrook being off of the ball, it gives him the luxury to improve his game. He can see it from another aspect. He's never played with a player that's as offensively talented as James Harden, as well as like ball handling is concerned. Like, Kevin Durant's a phenomenal ball handler, but as far as from an assist perspective, James Harden's much better. So I think that he's definitely going to have to change, but it's definitely going to take a lot.
you thinking like me too, though. Because if you take Russ off the ball, then, but like you
said, it forces him to see the game from another aspect.
Yeah, he could be a good cutter. He's athletic. He could catch the lobs and all of that. But
Dan puts Tony's him in his positions to, without the ball, like he coming Dan off Tony, screens and shit.
D'Antoni gonna have to change his system up. If he run the traditional system, this duo has.
They're gonna stink.
Yeah, they're gonna be horrible because Russ will be just standing like over there on the sideline, and then eventually him and James Harden gonna be beefing just like him and Chris Paul was. Chris Paul not even nowhere near as ball dominant as Russ is.
Yeah.
So, like, if that shit frustrated Chris Paul just sitting over there waiting on the ball all the time in the corner, then that shit definitely going to frustrate Russ, too. But if D'Antoni can tweak his offense and maybe start getting Russ to go, he could maybe work on his post game, start posting up some guards and shit like that. Like, it's some ways that it could work, but it's going to be major on Russ and, like you said, major on D'Antoni to check their egos at the door.
Judging by the way D'Antoni is talking, he not switching shit neither, because they didn't ask him multiple times about his system and this and that. And he got irate in one of those interviews and said, no, I'm not changing my system. Why would I change the system? Just winning championships doesn't mean that your system is better than mine. I said, oh, okay. He's clearly setting his ways.
Because, I mean, Russ and Chris Paul, like Chris Paul at the stage of the career he was at, he basically was Russell Westbrook. You're getting a younger, more athletic guy than you had. That's basically what you get. So, I mean, we already saw this system not work with this guy. Like, just because he's going to be younger now don't mean nothing. This shit's still not going to work, man.
It's
like,
going to be even more difficult to work because he don't got the IQ that Chris Paul had.
And this shit.
And also doesn't have that willingness to allow James Harden to shoot the ball 30 times a night without him getting that many shots.
Yeah. Unless Russ have a career year from three.
Oh, you're fucking right.
That's what I'm saying. Bro, it sounds crazy, but bro.
He coming off of what, a career low at three or some shit like that?
Look at how good Draymond shot from three in 2015, and look how horrible he has been ever since. Like, you'll see some years where some guys just eat right or something. I don't know. They get with the right trainer or I don't know what, but they'll just go crazy sometimes from three.
Yeah, like, I don't think Russ is one of them guys, because he's going to fuck around and hit three in a row and come down and take four ill-advised.
I don't like Russ in the D'Antoni system. I think that's the biggest issue. Obviously, the talent's there, but I don't know, man. But
There's been talks of them trading for Kevin Love, too.
I already been saying Kevin Love in the D'Antoni system would be special. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, I think he would fit well.
Because that would stretch the floor even more for them. Even with, and then you get Capella, because they don't really got no four. They playing Tucker at the four. That would be smooth for them. If they got Kevin Love, that would be smooth for them. I like that.
But the bad thing about it is Capella's involved in the trade. Now you're looking at it like I do. I'm like, well, they're not gonna have no big at all.
And now you got Love at the center and Tucker at the four.
Scruggle.
But I mean, you got the floor completely spread.
That's a fact, but that's a struggle. Because on D, if you throw in some, like, well, who they match up against the Lakers, who the fuck's going to guard Anthony Davis? Because I don't like Anthony Davis and Boogie out there together. They in trouble.
They couldn't guard Kayvon Looney in the paint.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't like that decision. I feel like it would be cool if you could figure out a way not to get Capella in that trade, but they've already been active in trying to move him. So I don't know. I don't think I care too much for that. But let's talk about the offseason again, man. As far as the offseason is concerned, what are some of the moves that you like the most this offseason?
Some of the moves I like the most. I like Malcolm Brogdon to the Pacers. I like that.
Smooth.
I like Bogdanovich to the Raptors. I mean,
Jazz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'm excluding all the top ones that everybody we already know.
Yeah.
But I like Al Horford to Boston.
to Philly. Ah.
But listen, this is why. Because, you know, in the playoffs, Al Horford gave Joel Embiid fits.
He did. So now you,
you got him on the mob. You ain't got
where you're taking him away. That's similar to what the Lakers did with Ron Artest.
Yeah, and then I like JJ to the Pelicans. That was a nice
pick. That's smooth. That was smooth.
And they got him for the low, kind of. Mm-hmm. 12 mil, that ain't bad. And then, yeah, that's it. But I do want to talk about some of these picks that the Warriors they got that I ain't realized.
Of course, we definitely going to talk about them. As far as my favorite picks, as far as the best offseason is concerned, I got to go with the Jazz. Mostly because, obviously, they added Mike Conley, which was huge. But that Bogdanovich pickup was huge as well. And I feel like that went very under the radar. I feel like enough people are talking about that. I don't know if people don't know how talented Bogdanovich is, but he's a baller. He's a baller. So, yeah. We'll definitely – I bet a lot of people this year be like, oh, Bogdanovich, nice. Like, I didn't know he was like that. Like, yeah, he's really a baller. And he's going to fit extremely well with a guy like Mike Conley and what they already have down there. Like, I feel like Donovan Mitchell should be lighting up right now just because his mob got so much better over a short span of time. Also, I guess just to go ahead and throw it out there, I know our listeners not going to want to hear it, but we're just going to have to call it what it is, man. Quiet as kept, the Warriors had one of the best off seasons, man. You lose a guy in Kevin Durant, which is an all-star. Granted, you can't replace Kevin Durant. But you turn around, retain Klay. Not only do you retain Klay, you fuck around and bring in another all-star in D'Angelo Russell, which that, to me, it came out of thin air. Like, I don't know how they cooked that up or where that came from, but that was huge for them, especially since Klay won't be playing for until probably around All-Star break or after All-Star break. Like, yeah, I think that was huge because now you give Steph the luxury of playing off the ball, which he's so great at doing. And you give him a ball handler that's not only just a ball handler, somebody that can score the ball. Like, he can make his own move. So the offense won't be – or the defense won't be too keen on stopping Steph come off the screens. You also got to worry about the guy that's handling the ball torching you, which the Warriors haven't had just yet. When they had for other players controlling the ball, that would be like a Draymond or Iggy, guys that's not really they're not going to get a bucket. They're running an offense. D'Angelo Russell was a guy that, yeah, we're running an offense, but if I see a mismatch or if I see that I can go grab a bucket, I'm going to get it. So I think that's going to be cool. Also, they went out and got Willie Cauley-Stein, man. That shit was huge. And I also don't know how they pulled that one off. But for those who don't know, Willie Cauley-Stein had been balling down there in Sacramento. And not only that, he is a perfect complement for that Golden State system. That what they look for out of their bigs, you couldn't have gotten a better player than Willie Cauley-Stein to fit what they want from their big. Would you agree? You're a Warriors fan, so I'm sure you would agree with that.
Absolutely. And also two other picks that went under the radar.
Alec Burks. Fucking huge.
Yep. And Glenn Robinson the third.
Oh, I didn't know y'all got him.
Yep.
Man.
And they locked up Looney. So, I mean, it was a successful offseason considering you lose Kevin Durant.
Y'all's front office is nasty, man. Like, it's one of the best front offices in the league, if not the. Judging off the moves that they've made.
Somebody on Facebook said that the Warriors going to win 30 games this year.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay. With two all-stars.
Yeah, I guess Steph going to get hurt game one of the season and be gone for the whole year, and they just going to hold Klay out because he got injured. It's about the only way I can see that happening.
Yeah, that's blasphemy. But also, three picks that went under the radar just as far as NBA is concerned, just that I think was sneaky good picks is Jabari Parker to the Hawks. Panther to Boston.
Huge. That was huge. Boston got a lot better this offseason.
And Mario Hezonja to Portland.
Oh, I didn't know they grabbed him.
Yeah, I like those pickups for each of those ball clubs. Just some more cheap players that you can just slide in. Look kind of not really veterans, but been around the block a little bit. Did a little something, not nothing major, but just they've been around.
Yeah, I think I like that a lot. I didn't know that he's on you went there, and I think that's big. So now that we've talked about the stuff that we've liked, let's talk about some of the most questionable moves this offseason, man. As far as I'm concerned, the most questionable move right off the bat was the Knicks not maxing out Kevin Durant. Like, what the fuck? He basically is telling you guys, like, yeah, I'll come there. Like, I'm there. You max me out, let's make it happen. They got the nerve to say, well, we don't know if we want to max him out because we don't know how he's going to be after the injury. Nigga, what else do y'all have to look forward to? A fucking 85% Kevin Durant is better than anything that y'all are going to get in free agency or anything that y'all have on y'all's roster.
I'll tell you what they had to look forward to, Ish.
What?
Julius Randle.
Oh, my.
Bobby Portis and Taj Gibson.
A bunch of nothing. A whole bunch of fours that's going to do nothing.
The three picks that I hated the most out of this whole offseason was those three right there.
Like, what?
Why would you sign three power forwards and they all basically the same guy, just a different age? And, like, I just don't like those pickups at all. I feel like they just were scrambling when they didn't get KD and they realized, like, oh, shit, the Nets got him.
It's just – it's real crazy when you just think about, like, how tragic shit has been in New York for years. Like, I'm talking years. Like, a lot of people just talk about here recently, but we got to go way back. Like, Amari Stoudemire. When he was going nuts down there by himself, you add Carmelo Anthony with him, and you think it's about to be spectacular. No, terrible. Then he leaves. Now it's just Melo. You pay Melo all the money in the world and don't put nothing else around him. You're trash. Now Melo's gone. You make a draft pick in Porzingis that nobody in your fan base was happy about, which turned out to be the best thing that you had done probably since the 90s with your ball club. And you let that shit get away for a bag of chips. Like, what? I don't even know where to start. I'm glad I'm not a Knicks fan. But just to think about how tragic it has been there, it's just like, man, this is crazy. And this is supposed to be the basketball mecca. In Madison Square Garden. You don't even have nothing worth seeing playing there anymore. It's just ridiculous, man. So that off top was definitely the most questionable thing that I've seen. But pretty close to that was Philly Max and Ben Simmons. Like, I didn't like I don't that. Think so. I didn't like that at all for the simple fact that you gave your guy Tobias money. Okay, that's cool. But you max out Ben Simmons in a year that he just came off of that didn't necessarily deserve max worthy money. Like, I understand negotiating a contract and maybe throwing some more years on there, but maxing him out? No. And I don't feel, for one, to me, that's showing that your future is all in on Ben Simmons. If that is your case, then what are you going to do with Joel Embiid? Because, I mean, I don't think that you're going to be able to max him out. When it's his time, and his time should be coming here soon, right?
Yeah, but what you got to think about is how much Embiid is hurt. You got to have another guy there. So I think that's the majority of what this was about with maxing out Ben Simmons. He's been available pretty much ever since that first year. So I think that's more about what it was about.
I feel like it needs to be a lot of incentives in a max contract with a guy like Ben Simmons. You're going to have to shoot a certain percentage from three, take some fucking threes for one, make some all NBA teams, whether it's defense, third team, any of that. I need to see those improvements throughout your game. Like, I don't think that he was worthy of a max contract, which a lot of people have said that about a few guys. They don't think that Jimmy Butler was worth the max contract, but Ben Simmons, to me, his future, like when you look to his future, yeah, if he improves and continues to get better, he's definitely worth that max money. But from what I've seen, I wouldn't give him a max contract right now. Like, I don't think it was time.
I don't have a problem with it because he's so young. I mean, eventually, if it don't work out, you can still trade him. Or eventually, he might ask out, you know, who his manager is. I mean, his agent. So, I mean,
who he with, Rich?
Yeah. So
Rich out here getting ducats. He's getting his guys money and getting them to where he want to be. He's definitely earning his money.
Watch, he going to be down there in L.A. with A.D. after Bron retired. It's going to be Ben Simmons and A.D.
Well, I pray to God that he brings some jump shots with him in that luggage that he bring into L.A.
Once Ben Simmons gets some confidence, he'll be fine. I'm not even worried about it, even though I definitely know he cannot shoot. But I
it's think not even that he needs anything. To be. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not even that Ben Simmons has to be a shooter. He's just got to shoot the ball. Like, just have enough confidence to where you're going to take those shots. Like, granted, like you said, he's young. So hopefully we'll see the maturation. But we need to definitely see it here soon, especially with that max contract now. Oh, yeah, we definitely need to see you step it up a notch.
Yeah, it puts a little pressure on you.
It does. So, I mean, I guess it's not questionable when you think about it from that aspect.
I got two more picks that I absolutely hate.
Yeah, what were they?
Ishmael Smith and Isaiah Thomas both to Washington. The two smallest guards in the league. And you're going to pick them both up.
I don't really know what's going on down there in Washington either. It's a little confusing to me right now.
Like, you really going to pick up 2 5-9 guards?
I don't mind IT, especially since this is a guy that we didn't really get to see last year. So we don't necessarily know what he's still got in the tank. So it's cool to grab him and see if he can give you a little bit of a spark, especially with him playing behind a guy like John Wall. We won't be expecting too much.
I don't mind grabbing either one of them.
But not both of them on the same roster. I'm
grabbing both. Yeah, that's just – like, bro, you got the two smallest point guards in the league on the same team. Like, how are you – so, you know what, you're just going to hide both your guards? One D?
Right.
Like, that's just weird. That was questionable to me. But, I mean, John Wall is out, but there was plenty of other point guards on the market.
How long is he gone for? Is he gone for majority of this year?
I don't know. He probably won't be back until probably at least like January. I doubt he's going to be playing early.
Mm-mm-mm. So, I think it's time to part ways with John Wall. I think a lot of teams will take an injured John Wall and wait for him. If you couple it with maybe a draft pick or something. But mm-hmm. I think it's time that you shop him. I think Brad Beal is a guy that you – may not necessarily have to build around, but if you want to do that, he's definitely a guy that you can do that with.
People be disrespecting Bradley Beal.
Brad Beal's a baller. He's got the tools to be that guy. Jimmy Butler's got the tools to be the guy that people think that he is. Give me Brad Beal.
That's how you know people don't be following the NBA. They just watch the games that come on TNT.
Pretty much. Or what people post about on social media.
Yeah, like, how you not know Bradley Beal, man, he averaged 20 for his career. Like, he been going crazy since he got in the league.
And not only is he doing that, he's doing that alongside a guard that scores the ball as well. Like, if you solely ran the offense through him, Brad Beal would be a buck it. Like, he would average mid-20s to high-20s.
You don't remember we was having that debate about if he was a top 5-point, shooting guard in the league and in the group chat, and they was like, no.
Yeah, who is that, you and Sauce?
Yeah, I'm like, you're crazy. What are y'all talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what Sauce is Vendetta was.
People think Devin Booker better than him.
Nah.
Nah.
And that also goes to the social media thing. People not watching Phoenix Suns game, but when you turn on SportsCenter and see Devin Booker that went for 70-something or went for 60 or 50, niggas is like, oh, Devin Booker really nice. Like, no, Devin Booker's nice, but Devin Booker had himself a night. Let's watch some Phoenix Suns games, and then you'll see exactly what Devin Booker is. That's not to say that he's not good, because he's definitely a baller too, but once again, give me Brad Beal.
Easy.
Like, I don't think that that's close at all. So, one more question that I've got to ask about this Russell Westbrook Chris Paul thing, man. We already discussed how it has to work for Houston, but let's talk about the other side now, man. Does Chris Paul get traded, and when do you think he gets traded? I think he definitely gets traded.
Yeah, I don't think that you keep Chris Paul if you're the Thunder, but I don't see how you move him besides buying him out.
I think what will happen is if they can't find a way to get him off early in the season, I could see somebody who's in playoff mode making a move and just like, fuck it, we're going to sacrifice that. It's probably going to take us over the top to get us to where we want to be. I don't know who that team's going to be. Granted, it's probably going to have to be a team that's like, we are neck and neck with the competition and we need something to put us over the top. And what better than a veteran like Chris Paul? I think it'll be something from that aspect. But once again, I'm not necessarily sure. We talked about it in the group chat. what I see happening is I see him ending up in Charlotte. I already said Jordan has already done so much shit that just does not make sense at all as far as draft picks and all of that shit. He's going to continue to add on to that what the fuck are you doing legacy. And he's going to take on that Chris Paul contract just off the strength that I don't think shit with Terry Rozier is going to work out. Like, you don't have nothing else down there around him. So you really going to be in a position where you're like, we got to do something. And I think that that's what they're going to do. They're going to bring Chris Paul home. He's going to come back and play in North Carolina where he's born and raised. And it's going to be another one of them Jordan decisions. Simple as that. I think it's so crazy how somebody so talented and so smart on the basketball court can be so stupid when it comes to making decisions as a GM. And I definitely don't want to sound disrespectful to the GOAT, but oh, he's a terrible GM.
Yeah, yeah.
He's horrible. Or owner, yeah. Should I say. What is he, GM or owner? GM.
Don't get me to lie.
But yeah, whatever title he holds, he sucks at it. And they keeping him around just because he's Michael Jordan. That's the only reason, because I don't think he would still be there. But, yeah, what destinations could you possibly see him at?
I don't know.
Where I think maybe Miami, too.
I don't know where he's going to end up because, like I said, I don't see nobody taking that contract. But I'd like to see him maybe come off the bench for Boston. I think that'd be dope.
Couldn't come off the bench.
Well, then they're going to have to give up Kemba then.
Yeah, or nah.
That's what I'm saying. But I would like to. I think that him in Boston would be cool. I don't know, man. I for some reason I feel like that could be real nice for him.
That's two small guards, though. Definitely, well, he's gonna have to come off the pond, like you said.
What about the?
You play them together, they in trouble.
The Clippers or Lakers? Obviously, it had to be a buyout situation for either one of them.
I think he fits perfectly with both of those ball clubs. I think his tenure with the Clippers is over and done with. I don't think he's going to go back. I think it's over for that. But definitely the Lakers, I could see him playing there. That, like you said, it's going to have to be a buyout situation. But I think if a buyout happens, all signs point to him going to L.A. I don't think he goes anywhere else just off the strength that Bron's there. He's got a chance to compete for a chip. He was already supposed to be a Laker at one point in time in his career. And it's not going to be as much pressure on him there as anywhere else.
What about the Suns or the Spurs?
Spurs would be huge. That would be very smooth. I don't think he would have to do too much. He wouldn't have to play too much. And we've already seen that Pop extends guards' careers.
Yeah, he know what to do with that type of point guard. And he don't like threes, so he going to let Chris Paul get – you know, Chris Paul's a mid-range type guard.
He's anyway. A mid-range specialist.
Yeah, so I think that would be dope. He'd have more another Tony Parker type guard.
And if they could find, if they could figure out a way to get him without giving up anything major, I think that that would be beautiful with him, LaMarcus Aldridge, and DeMar DeRozan. That would be smooth. I think that that's something that could definitely work. And I ain't gonna lie. I know it's just summer league, but I liked what I saw out of Keldon Johnson. And I think he's going to fit perfectly in with the Spurs.
That was my early pick.
I loved him. I loved what I saw.
Yeah, he tough, man.
There was somebody else that was impressing me in summer league. What'd you think of Brandon Clark?
I ain't seen nothing of him, to be honest. I ain't watched that much summer league. I watched a little bit of Pelicans. But all the rookies that I really wanted to see, ain't nobody play. I was impressed by Jackson Hayes. I never had seen him play before.
Yeah, I watched him in college, Texas. He's pretty good. I think that's a huge pickup for the Pelicans to couple with a Zion, because now Zion don't got to be that. It gives Zion the luxury of being able to come over and help and block shots as opposed to being a primary post defender. You know who impressed me? He wasn't even a rookie, but it was impressive. And I think I was high on him coming out of college. Granted, people going to say that I'm biased, but I already said prior to him getting drafted that he was going to be a good NBA player. I just didn't know how long it was going to take. Gary Trent Jr., he looked good.
You know he's a walking bucket.
He looked good. He had a 31-point game. He averaged 20-plus throughout the summer league. And I think that he had his transition year to where he got acclimated to the NBA, and I think he'll be an asset for them this year. With them losing a guy like Seth Curry, they're going to need somebody else to step up and take over that shooting / scoring load. And we saw at Duke that he can shoot it and shoot it efficiently. So I wouldn't be surprised, to see him step into a role and start getting some looks out there on the court. Granted, he's going to have to, show the coaches that he's worthy of being out on the court. But I feel like once he gets out there, I think he'll ball. Definitely. But as far as Brandon Clark, I'm a little iffy on him, man. I know he had a good summer league, but it just didn't scream, oh, he's going to do that throughout the year. Granted, I mean, we've seen players ball in summer league and continue to trend, Kyle Kuzma being one of them. But he's got a different type of game. He's more of a garbage type of guy and a guy that he excels in pick and roll, mostly off the lob. But I don't think he's going to be that effective playing against actual NBA players as opposed to summer league players. But I don't know. We'll see. So let's talk about your Warriors a little bit, man. They bought in D'Angelo Russell, as we already said. There's been a lot of speculation that they're going to flip D'Angelo Russell into a trade, which I don't see. Like, I don't see any destinations for him. Do you think y'all should keep him, or do you think that y'all should trade him?
I'm going to be completely honest, man. I don't have any idea.
Either way, you good as long as y'all get something back for him, huh?
Yeah, that too. But I just don't. I don't know how it's going to work. Like, I don't have the slightest idea. I'm trying to put my finger on it. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not going to work, and I'm not saying it is. I just literally don't have a clue. I don't have any idea what that's going to be like. I think it has potential to be good. I think it has potential to be bad. So I don't know. I don't have any. I don't know. I really don't. I've been thinking about it since it happened. So, I mean, if they trade him, I'm not going to be like, why? Yep. I'm not going to be mad.
Y'all going to trade him and take on that Chris Paul contract?
Oh, hell no. I definitely got an opinion about that.
Oh, shoot.
Hell no. That'll negate every good decision they ever made.
That's what's going to happen.
No, yeah, we'll cancel the dynasty.
But I think y'all should keep him, mostly for the reasons that I've already said. I think that he gives you the luxury of having Steph play off the ball. He's coming off an all-star season. He can shoot the rock, so he fits in with you guys. I think that it's cool. I don't think it's a great fit, but I think it's good for now, especially with Clay being out. Now, once Clay comes back, then we might have a bit of a dilemma. But prior to that, I think it'll be cool. And like I said, I can't see any trade destinations for him that would put y'all in a better position. Obviously, I feel like it would have to be for another guard. I don't know.
And that's not what we need. We need forwards.
Yeah.
Bad.
What if it's like a three-team trade with the Cavs and y'all bring in Kevin Love?
That'd be nice. But do we keep Draymond in that three-team deal, though?
Yeah, hell yeah. Right, y'all ain't giving up shit but D'Angelo Russell. I'm thinking three-team trade by them doing something with one of them guards that they got, because they got some guards that I don't think is going to stay if they get out D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that would be smooth.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do with Russell, man.
Like I said, I think it's in y'all's best interest to keep him. Maybe after that, you know, figure out what you want to do with him once Clay comes back. But as for right now, I feel like keep him. He's not your typical guard anyway. He's pretty big. He's a combo guard, 6'5", play to one, play to two. I like him. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm anxious to see how this NBA season is going to play out, because as of right now, as a Laker fan, everybody's appointing us as the favorite, us and the Clippers, but I'm not sold on it. And I don't know who's going to come out on top this year, but it's definitely going to be a competitive NBA, which I'm excited that it's getting back to the spread out superstars. But let's touch on our blind resume of the week, man. Typical blind resume. Obviously, we had people trying to spoil it. Oh, I know who it is. Like, that's not what we do. That's not what we do, guys. We don't spoil it. We don't care if y'all know who it is. But y'all don't need to come out and say it. If y'all know who it is, that's cool. Keep it to yourselves, because like Sam said on a post, it's going to alter the way people vote if they know who it is. That's the whole point of us doing this, is keeping names completely out of this and just looking from a statistical standpoint. Now, that being said, blind resume, it wasn't as close as people would assume it would be. If we had names on here, I don't think it would have came out this way. But excuse me. I'll go ahead and read it off. Resume 1, 24.3 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 6.3 assists per game. Shot 49.6 from the field, 49.6% from the field. So damn near 50%. Three-time NBA champion, two-time finals MVP, three-time MVP, 12-time All-Star, 9-time first-team All-NBA, 1-time second-team All-NBA, and I think 2-time second-team All-Defense. That's resume 1. Resume 2, 27 points per game, 7.1 rebounds per game, 4.1 assists per game, 49.3% from the field, also a two-time NBA champion, also a two-time finals MVP, one-time MVP, two-time NBA All-Star, six-time first-team All-NBA, three-time second-team All-NBA, and a multiple-time scoring champ. That being said, Resume 1 took this by a landslide on Instagram. They won 100% to 0 on Instagram. On Facebook, it was closer, but not much closer. Resume 1 won 80% to 20%. Now, Resume 1 being a three-time MVP, averaging 24, 10, and 6, and a three-time NBA champion, was who, Sam?
Larry Legend.
Larry Legend. Now, you would think that there wouldn't be too many people that we can put up against Larry Legend, and with names out there that would beat out Larry Legend. But there are a couple of names, and this person, Resume 2, is definitely somebody that I felt like if names was out there, people would have picked over Larry Legend. I would have picked it over Larry Legend if I'm picking names. But as far as stats are concerned, our fans sided with resume one, which was Larry. This player averaged 27, like I said, 27-7-4, two-time NBA champ, one-time MVP was who, Sam?
KD.
Kevin Durant. So, names on a board, put them out there. You throw them both on the court. Who you think people going after?
Yeah, people taking KD for sure.
Durantula. Now, that's not to say that Larry Legend is not a legend in his own right, which he is. I just believe that, it's Kevin Durant. I feel like Kevin Durant is probably number two forward. Probably once he finishes, I feel like he'll probably be the number two power or small forward of all time. Would you think that would be rightfully so?
Yeah, I think once he's concluded his career. But as of right now, even with the names, I would still side with Larry Bird.
I know you're a Larry type of guy, and his resume is stellar. Yeah, Ralph. Yeah, most definitely.
That's what I'm saying. But the thing is, KD still probably. He got some time. Put a number on it, but he still got some time left.
Yeah,
he's still going to have he could still up his average. He could end up winning a couple more first team all NBAs. Like, we don't know.
He still
got a chance.
That's what's going to have to happen in order for him to surpass that Larry Bird. That's monumental to pass a guy like Larry Bird as far as being the second best small forward of all time, because Larry is right there, like, hands down, the second best small forward of all time to me behind Bron. So, yeah, it's going to have to take, I would say, two, maybe three more of KD caliber seasons in order for me to be like, yeah, that's it right there.
But another MVP wouldn't be bad either.
MVP would solidify it for me, but I think those days are gone. I don't think we'll see another Kevin Durant MVP just off of the way that they've been doing the MVP here lately, the last 3 years or so.
If he ain't going to win another MVP, then he got to be first team
NBA. I need it. I need it.
Three more times.
I need it. And right now is the time, because I feel like, obviously, next year, I feel like Bron is probably a shoe-in for first-team All-NBA at that forward slot. I don't know. That forward slot's starting to get real deep now. You got guys like PG. You got guys like Kawhi. You got guys like Giannis. It's going to be a lot of people fighting for those forward slots, but you get two of them. So
it's going to be Draymond.
Nah. So, yeah, I would love to see KD get some more first-team All-NBAs. I think that, obviously, the All-Stars, that's going to come. I feel like he'll surpass Larry in that aspect. But winning another ring would solidify, and winning another MVP would solidify for me. If he doesn't do that, he's going to have to get a couple more first-team All-NBAs. Definitely. So, now let's get to something that we've been trying to do for the last couple episodes, but we've been forgetting, man. So what we did was we took 16 of the greatest teams of all time and put them in a playoff bracket. So, Sam, you want to go ahead and give our people those teams? You didn't break them up into divisions, like into Eastern Conference or Western Conference either. It's just the top 16.
Yeah, the seeds were number one, 96 Bulls. Two seed is the 17 Warriors. Three seed is the 01 Lakers. Four seed, 87 Lakers. Five seed, the 15 Warriors. Six seed, 13 Heat. Seven seed is the 2008 Celtics. The eight seed was the 1986 Celtics. 9 seed, 1989 Pistons. 10 seed, 2016 Cavs. The 11 seed is the 2014 Spurs. 12 seed, the 94 Rockets. 13 seed, the 03 Spurs. 14 seed was the 72 Lakers. 15 seed was the 04 Pistons. And the 16 seed was the 1967 Sixers.
All right. So what we did was matched them up strictly off that, and we have them seeded. First round, we got the 96 Bulls and the 67 Sixers.
Yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's even close. 96 Bulls. Next in that bracket, we got the 86 Celtics, 89 Pistons.
It's the 8-9 matchup. It's a close one.
That's one that I felt like was – I had to think a lot about that one. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
And what's
man.
Crazy is even though the team, their championship years were 3 years apart, these are two teams that was competing against each other. So it's like we kind of got to see them, like, obviously certain parts of the team changed.
Yeah.
But the cores of these teams were the same.
Yeah.
For each of these championship rosters. So we kind of got to see them go at it a little bit. Well, not us, obviously.
Yeah. But, yeah.
There's footage of these guys going at it.
Exactly.
So I got to rock with Larry Legend and them guys. I'm going with the 86 Celtics.
For me, it was very difficult just off the strength of what the Pistons were at that time. Those bad boy Pistons weren't really taking too much shit from anybody. And I think that a team like the 86 Celtics, they were equipped to handle what the bad boy Pistons were doing. Difference being, I mean, they had Larry Bird. Like, I feel like the Pistons, yeah, they're talented. Joe Dumars, Isaiah Thomas, but I don't feel like any of that combats Larry Bird. I feel like Larry Bird wins that series by himself. I think that it goes seven. But
easy, definitely.
But I like seven. Boston, especially with them having home court advantage.
And I like Kevin McHale against Dennis Rodman.
Me too.
I think ultimately he's just too big and too skilled for Dennis.
Yeah. I think that's a unique matchup, but I like Kevin McHale too. And a lot of people probably, I don't know if a lot of people don't watch basketball or watch vintage basketball, but Kevin McHale obviously was a baller.
Top five power forward of all time.
But I don't think that he gets the respect that he deserves either. You hear Rodman, people automatically think, oh, lockdown. Ain't nobody scoring on Dennis Rodman. It's a few bigs that I would like to line up against him, and I feel like they would get the best of him. Kevin McHale being one. But obviously, I feel like the ultimate guy at that forward slot that would get anything he wanted would be Dirk. But that's another story for another day. I also like Kevin McHale. So, yeah, I'm going to take Boston in that one too. So now we got the 96 Bulls matching up with the 86 Celtics second round. But let's go continue on with the first round. We got the 3-seed 15 Warriors and the 94 Rockets. This game.
No, this is the 5.
Oh, 5-seed. You're right. 5-seed. 5-12. This series right here. Whew.
That's a tough one. Another one going to 7. I think this one goes down to preference. I personally think that all those threes that the Warriors in 2015 were hitting, I think that ultimately is just a little bit too hard for the Rockets to try to match twos with threes. We already know that they're going to – oh, my God. Hakeem is going to do whatever the hell he wanted to do out there. He might average 45 or 50 in this series, but ultimately he matching twos with threes. And I just also Sam Cassell and who was the shooting guard? Was that Maxiel?
Kenny Smith
was on that squad. Like what was going to do with Steph? Nothing. Clay, nothing. I think Draymond would have ran circles around Otis Thorpe, even though Draymond would have had his hands full on the other end with Otis Thorpe because he was a big bruiser. But he wouldn't have been able to check Draymond on the perimeter. I think the Warriors ultimately would have been too fast, but the Rockets would definitely have beat him up a little bit. It definitely would have took 7 for this, but give me the Warriors.
I struggled with this one. I struggled with this one a lot. Just off the strength that, I mean, it's very hard to go against Hakeem the Dream. Like you said, I feel like he has one of his probably easiest series that he's probably ever had as far as him scoring the ball. Difference being, the guard play, man. Sam, like you said, Sam Cassell, Vernon Maxwell. Vernon Maxwell, I felt like, would have held his own a little bit, but he would have had to guard Clay. We're talking about a 6'4" shooting guard guarding a 6'8", 6'7" shooting guard. Clay shooting over top of that. Also, when you look at guys outside of Sam Cassell, it would have been who else? Kenny Smith, like you said. Kenny Smith's only 6'3". Scott Brooks was 5'11". So, I mean, it's not like you have much depth to go on to guard Steph. Granted, they probably could have put a guy like I don't know if I like that matchup too well either, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I don't like that matchup either. That, I just don't think that they have anything for Steph or Clay. I think it goes 7, like you said, but I think I'm taking a 15 Warriors too. I'm anxious to play these out on the game because I'm definitely going to. I'm going to set them up and just let them play. But, yeah, I think that goes 7, but give me the 15 Warriors. So, next matchup, we got the 87 Lakers and the 03 Spurs. That's another good matchup, but give me the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lakers in that one as well.
I'm taking the Lakers in 6.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. I think it's another great series, but I think this one gets closed out in 6.
Agreed. Agreed. So that pretty much fills out that side of the bracket. So what we have in round 2 will be the 96 Bulls and the 87 Celtics, followed by the 15 Warriors and the 87 Lakers going at it. Now let's jump to the other side of the bracket and finish this first round out. So, top of the bracket, we got the 17 Warriors and the 04 Pistons. As good as that 04 Pistons team was, I like the Warriors in 6.
I like it in 5.
Oh.
I think they are way too deep. This 17 Warriors team was still deep, man. Even though it was KD's first year there, we had Livingston playing at a high level. You had Iggy still playing at a high level. McCall was coming in off the bench, barely getting minutes. He was giving great minutes when he came in. Who was the guard that was there that year? He left the year after that. It wasn't McCall. It was somebody getting minutes before him.
Man, I know exactly who you're talking about too.
Because he took up Barbosa's minutes. I don't remember his name, yo.
I'm gonna tell you exactly who it was. It's gonna come to me in a second.
But yeah, I think that 17 Warriors team. I mean, remember what they was doing to everybody on the way to the game until Game 4 of the finals.
Yeah, that wasn't. I don't think that was much of a. I don't know. I can't think of who that other guard was now. I tried to think, but yeah, I don't think that. Five. I feel like that's. Was it Ian Clark?
Ian Clark, bong. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Ian Clark. That's exactly who it was. Yep. But yeah, I like it in 6. Yeah, I feel like the Warriors are much deeper, but. Come on, man. I think that this Pistons team was phenomenal. And if they're able to overcome Kobe and Shaq, granted it was a whole bunch of shit going on, I think that they can win 2 games against this Warriors
team. They was overcoming 2 balls, though. This Warriors team was going to come at you all types of crazy.
That's true.
I just think that this 2017 Warriors.
I think 5 is cool. 5 isn't. That's not outlandish. Yeah. I would go 6, but 5 sounds cool.
That 2017 Warriors team was different, man. Those older guys were still playing high level basketball. Like I said,
yeah, we were saying
we're still throwing people in the post.
And
the fadeaway and everything. You just couldn't do nothing with that team.
There wasn't much of a weakness.
No, there was none. There was. JaVale McGee had the rim protection. Like, there was no weakness on that team at all. And KD was playing like he really had something to prove on defense that year.
Yeah, I agree. He was like he had some crazy statistic in blocks that year. So.
Yeah, he was averaging almost 2 blocks a game or some shit like that.
Yeah, it was definitely a career high year for blocks from him. But let's jump to the next game. We got the 08 Celtics and the 16 Cavs. 08 Celtics.
For real?
Yeah.
At 2016, Cavs, boy, I don't know.
Listen to me. The reason why I'm taking that 08 Celtics team is because as far as those Cavs are concerned, Kyrie was playing at a high level. Bron was playing at a high level. But you really think Rondo about to let Kyrie go crazy on his head like that? This Rondo that we're talking about in 08, he prided himself on that defensive end. This is when he was plucking damn near everything.
That's true.
Kyrie going ball, but Kyrie not going to go out here and go nuts like he did that year. Just not going to happen. And Kyrie hasn't – that year there weren't – well, in Kyrie's whole career, if we're being honest, there haven't really been many perimeter defenders. I felt like this would rough him up a little bit, like, damn, every possession. Like, it's not – yeah, I definitely think that they would go at it. But also, I don't think that they would have enough to combat that offense, man. We had Paul Pierce out here going fucking stupid. I think KG gets all in Kevin Love's head. Kevin Love ain't here no more. And I think Ray Allen does what he's supposed to do as well. So I definitely like that 08 Celtics team. And you also got the big bruiser down there and Kendrick Perkins. He ain't letting Tristan just kill the boards like he was.
Yeah, I like the Celtics too.
And they had Eddie House coming off the pine too.
Yeah.
That
was a good team.
Yeah, I like that 08 Celtics team in that one. I don't know how many games I like them in, but I like them. Next game, we got the 13 Heat, 14 Spurs. Basically, the matchup that we already saw.
That each of them won the championship.
Exactly. And that's what makes this it makes
basically a rematch. The tiebreaker.
Yes. I don't know who I got in this one. I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't know who I got in. Part of me like, shit, I'm going with Bron and them. But then that other side is like, shit, popping them over there, and they already showed you we can beat these guys.
They should have been 2-0 against
Right. I'm going with the Spurs. I got to go with the Spurs just off of that strip. If it wasn't for a Ray Allen fucking Hail Mary 3 ball, yeah, they would have been up 2-0. So, yeah, I'm taking the Spurs in 7.
Yeah, that's fair. The Heat had no business beating them the first time. So that's definitely fair. Let's rock with the Spurs.
All right. Next, we got 0-1 Lakers, 72 Lakers. 0-1 Lakers. Give them to me.
That easy?
That easy. I like them in 6.
Ooh, I don't know. Will, 6 is cool, but. I think
Wilt ain't never had to do nothing with a nigga like Shaq.
Had to do nothing with somebody like Wilt either.
Man, Shaq done played against 7-footers, bro.
Not like Wilt.
Man. Wilt was skilled, but Wilt was not the most offensively skilled big that we've seen. And man, I don't want to slouch.
Athletic, bro.
And so was David Robinson.
Not as athletic as Wilt.
After I seen
footage of Wilt on that that documentary that ESPN did, that 22-hour joint or whatever, that basketball of love story.
Bro, yeah.
Bro, Wilt has stupid bounce, bro. Wilt probably had a 30-some inch vertical at 7 foot, whatever he was.
Yeah, I still like Shaq in that matchup a lot. Now, granted,
bounce, bro.
They was deep as shit. We talking Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Gail Goodrich,
I don't think Elgin Baylor wasn't on that team.
Yes, he was.
I thought he ain't winning championship.
Yes, he did. He won one.
Oh.
71-72 Lakers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I might like the 72 Lakers over the 01 Lakers if they had Elgin Baylor too, bro.
And had Pat Riley too.
Yeah, I'm taking 72. Nah. I'm taking 72 Lakers, man. I don't know.
Nigga, give me Kobe and Shaq. Them old one. Nigga, Shaq, we are talking about the old one Lakers. This is a team that we've only seen it happen in one other occurrence, and it was the Warriors. I don't even think the Warriors did it.
Went undefeated to the finals, yeah, huh?
Oh, and then I lost 17. One?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, yeah, we saw that happen. This is – come on now. You're not going to disrespect probably the greatest Laker mob that we've seen.
Kobe and Shaq. I'm cool with going with Kobe and Shaq.
All right, so now we're in the second round. We got to speed this up a little bit. Second round, we got 96 Lakers – or 96 Bulls.
Why don't we just leave it at this and do the rest of it in the next
one? That sounds like a plan. Yeah, let's keep them waiting.
Because now we can do the polls now since we've done the 8.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of polls, let's jump to some of the polls that we did this week, man. We just came up with some fire for y'all, man. Y'all should be very excited about what we're going to do for y'all. We've decided to do an ultimate 1-versus-1 tournament. Now, we are going to separate it by positions and by skill types. So it won't just be like fucking LeBron going against niggas like Chris Paul and shit like that. Like, we have broken it up. So we went ahead and started it. If you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you've already seen that we've started our scoring guards division of this. Now, what we're doing is we're doing 8 total players in each division. So this first division, we went ahead and we've gotten the first round out the way. So the first round matchups were, we had Allen Iverson against Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas being the Pistons, Isaiah Thomas. Also had Baron Davis versus Gilbert Arenas. Then we had Stephon Marbury against Chris Paul. Then we had Jerry West against Steph Curry. So the results for those, that was pretty tight. I ain't even going front.
Except for one.
Yeah, one of them was a landslide, and it shows up different on our page because I was scrolling and I accidentally clicked and it made me vote. So I was the lone vote for Isaiah Thomas and Allen Iverson. As you can imagine, not close at all. Allen Iverson won that one 100% to 0. Next matchup, we had, who was it? Steph. Was Steph the next? Yeah, yep. Next one we did was Steph and, Jerry West. Now, I figured this was going to be a little closer just off the strength that I feel like a lot of people going to go against Steph just because he's Steph, which is crazy. It's crazy because Steph don't even got that bad guy image, but for some reason he's starting to get it. Like, niggas is really starting to go against Steph just because it's Steph. Granted, it's Jerry West. I'm not knocking anybody for going against him, but Steph won 71% to 29%. I would have sided the same way. I would have went with Steph as well. That's no slight against the logo, but I'm assuming you taking Steph too.
Absolutely.
So next we had Baron Davis and Gilbert Arenas. This was one of the tougher ones for me. I was sitting here like,
I strongly disagree with the listeners.
But our listeners came out and said that Gilbert Arenas would beat Baron Davis 68% to 32%. I went back and forth with this. Initially, I said Baron Davis. Then the other side of me was like, nah, Gilbert Arenas. Then I went back to Baron Davis just off the strength that Baron Davis is more of a defender than Gilbert Arenas is. I feel like Gilbert Arenas would. Like, he's one of those guys that if I get the ball, you're probably not getting it back because I'm not scoring, or because I'm going to score. But if he misses one shot and B. Diddy gets it back, B. Diddy going to be able to do whatever he wants. And B. Diddy has some body on him. So, excuse me. I felt like he was going to be able to do whatever he wanted to do to Gilbert Arenas. And, man, it was tough for me, but I was siding with B. Diddy as well. But like I said, our listeners picked Agent Zero, so Gilbert won that one. Then we had our closest one of them all, Chris Paul and Stephon Marbury. this came down to one vote. Chris Paul won this 52% to 48%. I'm going with Starberry.
Me too. I thought this one was going to be landslide.
It's off the names, I feel like. I feel like it's just because people know Chris Paul and some people don't know Stephon Marbury. Like, I saw a couple of the people that voted, and I'm like, man, you probably don't even know who Stephon Marbury is. But nevertheless, our fans picked Chris Paul, but I'm definitely going with Stephon Marbury in that matchup. Mm. Like, he was – Starberry was a problem now. Like, this is a guy that if he didn't play in the same era as AI, he would be a flat-out legend. Like, we would talk about him in a different light than what we do. So that's pretty much the first round, man. I'm anxious for these second round matchups too. They're about to be tough. So second round, what we're gonna have is Allen Iverson facing off with Gilbert Arenas. Then we're gonna have Chris Paul facing off with Steph Curry. I personally think both of those will go in the way that I assume that they will. But I was assuming that it would have been a lot tougher with our fans siding in other ways than they did. But regardless, that's how they sided. Next up, after we finish this one, we're gonna go big guards, and I know our fans is gonna like those. I'm not even gonna tell y'all who we got.
The matchups is fire.
Woo-wee! It's gonna, like, all of these is gonna be like, I don't know. And we are assuming that all of these players are in their prime. So we not, once y'all hear some of these names, don't be like, well, which version of them are we gonna get? Everybody's in their prime. So that's what makes it exciting for me. I'm excited to keep that trend going. But, that pretty much does it. Was there anything else you wanted to say to the listeners before we got out of here?
No, that's it for me.
Yeah, man, just make sure y'all keep looking out. I'm telling you, once y'all see the rest of these that we got going on, like I said, we're doing big guards next. After that, we're probably going to go forwards or point forwards. We don't know what we're going to go yet. So y'all just be on the lookout. It's gonna be super exciting. We're gonna try to go each position, but like you've already seen, we're gonna do scoring guards and big guards. So we might do multiple divisions of positions. So just be on the lookout for that. But yeah, man, I'm excited to see how the rest of this is gonna play out.
Just keep sharing the polls for us, please.
Please do. And if you don't already, follow us on Instagram at PickNRollPodcast. Straight like that. That's exactly what it is. It's PickNRollPodcast. And you'll also see all of our polls and stuff on there too. So make sure y'all vote on that as well. But yeah, man, that pretty much does it. Signing out. It's your boy Ish.
And it's your boy Sam. We appreciate it.
We out.